WCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. On his way out of the Oval Office, President Biden is signing an executive order aimed at strengthening the nation's cybersecurity. The White House says the order will make it harder for bad actors to hack into Americans' data. Last night, the president delivered his farewell address to the nation, warning about the power wielded by the tech industrial complex.
In the age of AI, it's more important than ever that the people must govern.
The president also talking about the ceasefire breakthrough in Gaza. Palestinian lawmaker Dr. Mufasa Barghouti.
We're quite happy that this deal was finally achieved. But on the other hand, we are very sad because it took such a long time.
Starting Sunday, Israeli troops are supposed to halt military operations to allow for the release of 33 hostages and to let humanitarian aid into Gaza. A relatively calm period in L.A. No big fires as people try to get a handle on the devastation. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for some fun indoor entertainment, given the frigid temperatures on the way, here are some movies that might interest you. There continues to be no shortage of horror films, and if that is your genre of choice, check out a new take on the age-old classic Wolfman, starring Julia Garner of Ozark fame. Also opening in wide release is the comedy One of Them Days, starring Kiki Palmer and musical artist SZA, which tells the story of two roommates scrambling to pull rent money together. At the time of this reading, the film is pulling a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and SZA's acting chops have impressed critics. Coleman Domingo's role continues. The film Sing Sing will be re-released this weekend. And if you happen to be incarcerated, you're in luck as well. The film will be playing in correctional facilities all across America, and that makes sense since Sing Sing tells the story of teaching rehabilitation through the arts and has almost a perfect audience and critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks at home against the Orlando Magic. Milwaukee with another hot start, scoring 19 points in the first quarter. On the way to a 122-93 win over the Magic. The Bucks have now won four of their last five. Damian Lillard led with 30 points.
Just over this last five or six games, I think we've definitely been putting the type of efforts together that we need to, regardless if it's home or on the road. You know, we're starting to feel what it's like when we do what we're supposed to do.
The Bucks host the Raptors tomorrow night at 7. NFL. The Packers' Matt LaFleur will have to hire a new quarterback's coach. At age 71, Tom Clements has decided to retire after 14 seasons overall in Green Bay.
Man, it's been a cool ride with him for the last 3 years. He's incredibly consistent. What a great man. Great mind. Obviously, he's had the opportunity to coach some of the best. I mean, when you talk about Favre, Rodgers, and then the development of Jordan Love. I mean, that's pretty cool.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jimmy K here from Max Inc. Radio. Join me this weekend as I welcome Isaiah and the New People. Plus, Terry chats with jazz musician Janet Plant. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today, although we will see a little sunshine off and on at times. Our high right around 33 this afternoon. Tonight, 21. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high near 40. And then after that, hang on, it's going to get really cold later this weekend into the first part of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, Earl Ingram will discuss the status of the president-elect's nominees. Plus, is anyone besides Michelle Obama skipping the inauguration? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning on this Thursday, January 16th. This is the Midwest Farm Report, and I'm Ben Jarbo here with you while the rest of the team is at the Dairy Strong Conference. We're going to see some varying temperatures in the next few days, and ag meteorologist Stu Muck will be with us in just a few minutes with those details. Seeing that it's Thursday, we're going to catch up with our friends from EverAg as Colin Artema joins the show to give a look into the dairy market as we enter into 2025. Also coming up, Charity Seebecker has a talk with Jill Stahl Tyler from Global Cow to share how this program brings people from all over the world to learn about dairy farming in the United States. But first, we are going to take a look into some research that aims to extend the squeak of a cheese curd. I had the opportunity to have a conversation with Dr. Ronnie Govindasamy Lucy with the Center for Dairy Research, who aims to expand the range of this tasty treat. That story is coming up next, so make sure to stick around.
You see the headlines all the time, consumers confused by food labels. Well, not if they shop at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here, asking you to take a closer look at the food labels at Bavaria Sausage. You know, they are working towards making sure when you take a look at whatever product they've got in the store, you know exactly what it is. They're using different colors. They're also making sure that there's a picture on that label to help you better understand the protein source that you're looking at. It's all about making sure they're combining the old world flavors, the artisan blends, and making sure that you understand when there's something new in the showcase, what is it and where did it come from? Simple information, easily understood. And of course, there's always someone there to answer your questions if you've got them. Bavaria Sausage at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, located also online, BavariaSausage.com. Old recipes, new labels. Take a look.
Wisconsin is home to the cheeseheads and, more importantly, the cheese curd. But unfortunately, the rest of the U.S. and the world don't get the same experience out of the curd as we do here. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo. And with me is Dr. Ronnie Govindasamy Lucy with the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison. And she's explaining how their research is looking at extending the freshness and squeakiness of a cheese curd, so that way the rest of the world can get the same experience out of this tasty treat, while also boosting the economic value of the curd for the Wisconsin farmers.
Well, we are in Wisconsin, you know. Wisconsinites love to eat cheese curds, right? And we all know when we eat cheese curds, we love them to be squeaky. Unfortunately, this squeakiness, you know, is quickly lost about after 4 to 5 days after it's made. And currently, we find that we can only have fresh cheese curds in few locations like Wisconsin, you know, because most of the plants which make cheese are located in the vicinity. Cheese curds which are sold in different parts, other locations, are often several weeks old, and they lack the squeakiness which we are all used to in a cheese curd, and then they also lack the refreshing taste of curds immediately after cheese making. So since this cheese curd is so popular, delicious snack, many consumers around the country are often interested in experiencing this squeaky treat. However, because of the short window of the squeakiness being lost, in which the cheese curds stay fresh and squeaky, many people outside of Wisconsin cannot enjoy this unique delight. So we wanted to have more people outside of Wisconsin to get the squeaky curds. Now, also, you know, cheese curds are very good undergo source of protein. So if you can find approaches to extend squeakiness in cheese curd can help in the widespread distribution sales of this snacks nationally. And maybe it could also offer export growth possibilities. So these are some of the reasons why we wanted to look at how we can go about extending the squeakiness of cheese curds.
When you're looking at extending this squeakiness, could you run me through the process of how you're doing this research?
When we approached the study, we looked at it, okay, so we need that matrix, the cheese network to be tough and the structure to be rigid. So we think that the two processes that could be taking place that could be affecting the structure of the cheese, one of them is proteolysis. So during when the cheese is made, cheesemakers add an enzyme called rennet to the milk, which helps to clot the milk. So this rennet can cause proteolysis to take place. So proteolysis is basically where the enzyme is able to break down the protein. So when you break down the protein, it is going to make your cheese structure to become softer. So how can we extend this squeakiness? Anything that would decrease the protein breakdown of the protein structure, decrease the protein-mineral interactions will help to extend the squeak. So that was the idea behind this research project.
If I remember correctly, when you were giving your presentation, didn't you say to also help kind of measure the squeakiness, you had these microphones, like really sensitive microphones that you'd use to detect like how loud of a squeak?
Yes. There's no method to measure squeakiness except by tasting the cheese. And someone will tell you, okay, if I pass you a cheese curd, now you will put it in your mouth and say, oh, I don't get the squeaky note. It's not squeaky, or it is squeaky. But there's no method to measure metrically, a metric measurement of, okay, what level of squeakiness. So what we then did in this research project is we developed a method. So the first question we had to do is, how can we measure squeakiness? So we worked with this audiology department where basically we used a microphone in the audiology department. We put it in and we allow the panelists to bite the cheese curd. And then we were able to detect, we took recordings of this when the panelists were chewing. And in the recordings, we could hear when there was squeakiness, there was a different noise. And basically, we took the recordings every time the person chew a cheese curd. And looking at the recordings using machine learning, we were then able to classify the cheese curd, the recordings, as being squeaky or non-squeaky. So based on that, we actually plotted a profile. And from the profile, we noticed there were differences when the cheese was squeaky and the cheese was not squeaky. So using this, okay, so that was very highly exciting for us because now we have a method using audiology acoustic measurements to come up with a method to measure squeakiness. So next, what we did also is that we trained a sensory panel. So a group of 10 to 12 people, we trained them on sensory attributes. We gave them different cheese curds, and we used a scale of 1 to 6 and asked them to use anchors and asked them and train them like instruments to chew on the curd and then say, okay, what score will you give? So we trained them on that and we developed the sensory scale. So we then correlated the sensory scale with the acoustic measurement we had done using the recordings, the audiology microphone attached to our ear and all that. And so using those, we will then able to, we obtain a very good correlation between the sensory and the audiology measurements we had done. So that was very highly exciting for us, because now we will able to correlate. We have a method to measure them, both the sensory as well as the acoustic gave us very good correlation.
Now that you've found the way to measure the squeakiness, what have you found so far in being able to extend that squeakiness with the makeup of the cheese or how you store it or whatever you're looking at there?
So what we did is then, as I said, using the squeakiness, we came up with a metric. We correlated. So then we wanted to study this approach in a cheese. So we used this, maybe if you heard my presentation, you were there. I talked about this Finnish bread cheese. So in Finland, they have this bread cheese where when it can extend its shelf life up to its squeakiness shelf life up to about 3 months, even when it's not refrigerated. So we wanted to take that cheese. That cheese is different from cheese curd, because when they make the cheese, they do not, they only add the rennet, which, remember I talked, is the enzyme that is added to cause clotting in milk to when you make cheese, but they do not add bacteria to make the cheese. We said, okay, so there's no bacteria, it's not going to produce the acid. So when it doesn't produce the acid, it's not going to solubilize the minerals with the protein. So now they only add rennet to make the cheese. So we only have to deal with proteolysis. But the other thing about when they make this cheese, it is baked at very high temperatures. During that baking process, we thought that maybe baking at high temperatures, you are actually killing the enzyme, the rennet enzyme, and that would decrease the proteolysis. So we looked at different temperatures, and we were able to find that when you use higher temperatures to bake, you're actually able to retain the squeakiness longer.
Although here we may take for granted the tasty treat that is a cheese curd, much of the U.S. and the world don't get the same experience. But through this research that Dr. Govinda Sami Lucy is doing with the Center for Dairy Research, that may change very soon. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is news from the Center, WRCE.
Badger fans, the temperatures may be dropping, but the Big Ten action at the Kohl Center is just heating up. This winter, we've got an action-packed schedule of Badger men's and women's basketball and men's hockey games right here at home. Gather your friends and family, secure your seats, and create lasting memories with us at the Kohl Center. For the full Badger schedule and to purchase your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Matt Nair on air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first. Wait,
have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he just drives, he's going...
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll remember the life and impact of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We'll listen to excerpts from his speeches and discuss how it relates to the present day.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. News from the Center, WRCE.
I think nobody's looking forward to that real sharp temperature change, but unfortunately, that's exactly what's going to happen around here, especially as we make our way toward the weekend. I mean, one frontal boundary's been pushing off to our east since yesterday. Did account for a little snow all across the state, a little busting. I've got a little bit of a snow drift on the deck. That's about the worst we've seen. Most amounts of snow under a few hundredths of an inch, so not a big deal. The radar indicating, in fact, still a little activity. Lake Winnebago into east central Wisconsin, into the Manitowoc area, and up toward Kewaunee, the Door Peninsula. But that's going to end this morning, and generally we'll have a fairly dry day. Temperatures did moderate, warmed up through the nighttime, and will stay much more mild today and tomorrow as well. In fact, well above normal, where most of us are looking at high temps, normal highs in the upper 20s, you know, 25, 26, 27 degrees from north to south. Here we're going to be talking 30s today and upper 30s tomorrow. Very, very mild indeed. And add to that some sunshine. It sounds very nice. It does stay breezy. Don't let the thermometer fool you. It is going to be chilly out there. Unfortunately, those winds gusting up near 25 and at sometimes even 30 miles per hour will add a definite chill to the picture. And that's going to be the case right through today and on into the weekend. Then two little fronts pass through by late Friday and Friday night. And behind those two cool fronts, that very cold air begins to settle in. Temperatures getting colder, a lot colder already Saturday, and then down to single digits and below zero highs are going to be expected on towards Sunday and Monday. Not a big moderation trend early next week if it doesn't turn around on a dime, but there will be some moderation getting back up a little closer to normal by Wednesday, but it's going to be a little slower warm-up than how quickly it cools down here as we start toward the weekend. But it does sound like January wintry type weather in Wisconsin. Big changes happen all the time. We just have to be ready for them. Bundling up, being warm, still important, even if that thermometer says it's mild, because those winds will keep us pretty chilly right on through today, tomorrow, and then we do get that cold air returning right through the weekend. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
An infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Veltima fungicide outyields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Well, Stu, with this quick temperature change, is there going to be any adverse weather coming with that?
Not really. I mean, there may be some snow in the north as that cold air really settles in. But for most of us, it's just the cold and the winds that are going to make us remember that winter is still here. In fact, today, let's look for partly sunny skies. Still kind of a breezy day, but I expect a lot of us head to the low 30s, maybe upper 20s in the far northwest. Could be up near 34 or so in the south. And the northwest winds, 5 to 15, there'll be some gusts near 30. mostly cloudy overnight. Low 20s, just a few upper teens in the far north. West winds becoming south overnight, about 5 to 15. Partly sunny skies for Friday. The warmest could be about 38 or 39 in the south, maybe a 40 in one spot. Let's see. I expect those south winds tomorrow, 5 to 15, gusting to 30. And even then, Saturday, some morning clouds, more partly sunny skies in the day. But a big difference is the highs only will be in the teens on Saturday with that northwest wind gusting to 25. And, Ben, I hate to say it, but single digits above zero Sunday, if not even below like it will be on Monday.
Oh, man, I'm probably going to freeze myself there. So there's no outlook for snow coming up anytime soon.
I've got nothing in the sights except, you know, that little snow flurry here or there right on through most of next week. So it's going to be dry.
Honestly, I think that's almost worse than just having it cold. Well, I wish there was snow. That somehow sometimes makes it feel a little better.
A little better, and we really do still need some cover out on those crops in the field. So keep your fingers crossed. All of a sudden, it'll work.
All right. Thank you. That's Stu Muck, your ag meteorologist. Make sure to stick around.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@AmericanFoodsGroup.com.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to connect the idea of imagining yourself being good at money with my favorite academic research paper ever, which is about shooting free throws. Basketball. Stay with me. The study had one group of players practice their free throws every day for an extra 2 hours, and then another group of players imagining themselves practicing free throws for the same amount of time every day. The researchers called this simulated mental practice. The research showed that the mental practice, without any actual physical execution, improve their free throw shooting more than just going through the motions. I'm not saying that imagining yourself good with money will suddenly make you a gazillionaire, or imagining that free throw shooting is going to make you Damian Lillard, but both can help. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. On his way out of the Oval Office, President Biden is signing an executive order aimed at strengthening the nation's cybersecurity. The White House says the order will make it harder for bad actors to hack into Americans' data. Last night, the president delivered his farewell address to the nation, warning about the power wielded by the tech industrial complex.
In the age of AI, it's more important than ever that the people must govern.
The president also talking about the ceasefire breakthrough in Gaza. Palestinian lawmaker Dr. Mufasa Barghouti.
We're quite happy that this deal was finally achieved. But on the other hand, we are very sad because it took such a long time.
Starting Sunday, Israeli troops are supposed to halt military operations to allow for the release of 33 hostages and to let humanitarian aid into Gaza. A relatively calm period in L.A. No big fires as people try to get a handle on the devastation. This is ABC News.
on your entertainment beat. I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for a trip down TV memory lane and were a fan of the show Twin Peaks, this might pique your interest. The murder mystery drama set in the Pacific Northwest will be available on Blu-ray box set. In addition to all the seasons, there will be 27 hours of behind the scenes and extra features. The box set doesn't officially drop until February 3rd, but you can currently pre-order it on Amazon for a cool $56. Actors work odd jobs to pay rent before their big break. For actor David Schwimmer, one of the gigs included serving divorce papers after his freshman year in college, thanks to his lawyer mother. The Friends actor and star of the new show Goosebumps told Stephen Colbert he once served singer Rod Stewart with divorce papers. Apparently, Alana Stewart, Rod's wife at the time, no longer wanted his body or thought he was sexy. Goosebumps is available to stream on Peacock. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks at home against the Orlando Magic. Milwaukee with another hot start, scoring 19 points in the first quarter. On the way to a 122-93 win over the Magic. The Bucks have now won 4 of their last 5. Damian Lillard led with 30 points.
Just over this last 5 or 6 games, I think we've definitely been putting the type of efforts together that we need to, regardless if it's home or on the road. You know, we're starting to feel what it's like when we do what we're supposed to do.
The Bucks host the Raptors tomorrow night at 7. NFL, the Packers' Matt LaFleur will have to hire a new quarterbacks coach. At age 71, Tom Clements has decided to retire after 14 seasons overall in Green Bay.
Man, it's been a cool ride with him for the last 3 years. He's incredibly consistent. What a great man, great mind. Obviously, he's had the opportunity to coach some of the best. I mean, when you talk about Favre, Rodgers, and then the development of Jordan Love. I mean, that's pretty cool.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Governor Evers announcing a new Office of Violence Prevention, talking about gun safety. And J.R. Ratcliffe, talk all things sports in hour number 2. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today, although we will see a little sunshine off and on at times. Our high right around 33 this afternoon. Tonight, 21. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high near 40. And then after that, hang on, it's going to get really cold later this weekend into the first part of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 27.
Badger fans, the temperatures may be dropping, but the Big Ten action at the Kohl Center is just heating up. This winter, we've got an action-packed schedule of Badger men's and women's basketball and men's hockey games right here at home. Gather your friends and family, secure your seats, and create lasting memories with us at the Kohl Center. For the full Badger schedule and to purchase your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Our recent reporting explored the massive contributions to Donald Trump's inaugural fund, reportedly reaching $170 million. What are the rules as to how that money is spent? The short answer is, there aren't any. The Federal Election Commission allows private donations to support inaugural activities. This year, that's a parade, a rally, 2 luncheons, a tea, 3 dinners, 3 inaugural balls, and fireworks at Trump's Sterling Golf Club. The FEC requires reporting of donations over $200, but sets no limits or dictates how it's used. Let's say that the Trump inauguration has 12 events and they cost an astronomical $2 million each, a whopping $24 million. That leaves $146 million left. When the inauguration is over, will we know how the leftover money will be used? We won't. While a Trump campaign source told the New York Times some would be used for Trump's presidential library, there are no rules dictating how that money is used. The Inaugural Fund Integrity Act is expected to be reintroduced in Congress in January, which would set a limit of $50,000, require immediate disclosure of contributions over $1,000, and ban corporate and super PAC donations. That's a start, but the legislation still doesn't require disclosure of how that extra money gets spent. Find out more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
News from the center, WRCE.
I would say those numbers today are 60% maybe that would want him back.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Midwest Farm Report, and I am Ben Jarbo joining you on this Thursday morning. Well, and as Stu was saying, with the temperatures getting up around 40 tomorrow, it's going to feel kind of like a heat wave compared to what we've been experiencing. And I might actually wear shorts tomorrow. Granted, that could just be my young, dumb 23-year-old brain thinking that's a good idea, which it's probably not. If my mom were here, she would probably yell at me. Let's take a look at some country music history that has taken place on this day. On January 16th in 1943, singer Ronnie Millsap was born in Robbinsville, North Carolina. He's well known for songs like Smoky Mountain Rain, No Getting Over Me, and I Wouldn't Have Missed It for the World. In 1974, Charlie Rich was number one on the U.S. country chart with Behind Closed Doors. In 2006, the Johnny Cash biopic Walk the Line won 3 Golden Globes. In 2014, in Ohio, a forklift crashed into the stage after a Luke Bryan concert, injuring 4 people. But they were all rushed to the hospital and turned out fine. And in 2015, bluegrass songwriter Dixie Hall passed away at age 80. She was the wife of Tom T. Hall. Well, that's a look at your country music history. Hopefully you learned a little something there. And speaking of learning, there's a unique opportunity for people over the world to learn about U.S. dairy farming. Charity Seebecker joins us with Jill Stahl Tyler to talk about their program called Global Cow.
Global Cow's dairy exchange program opens the barn doors to international connections and hands-on learning in agriculture. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report. And led by Jill Stahl Tyler, this unique program brings people from around the world to gain real-world experience on U.S. dairy farms.
Global Cow has been around for, 30 years or so, and we bring people in from around the world. Then they spend 1 year on a dairy farm learning about what we do by working. So they'll be not just in the dairy parlor, but moving around and understanding all of the different parts of the operation. And some farms, the larger dairies, might do that by a rotation of so much time, so many weeks in each section, or a smaller dairy may just get that done in one day.
And how are you selecting these dairies for these people to come to learn?
So the dairies kind of self-select. They come to me and they say, yeah, this is something that I think makes sense for my operation. It's the type of thing that you kind of need to be ready to spend a little bit of time with people. You're not just getting somebody that's already trained in your operation. You know, you're going to spend some time training, and a lot of people say the first 6 months you're spending a lot of time training, but the second 6 months you're really with them as an employee. They also need to be people that are excited about working with someone from another country. They're not going to speak English as a primary language usually, although some of the Africans have spoken English all their life. So you need to be ready for a little bit of a cultural shift. Their English is there, but, you know, those moments that can lead to that international misunderstanding to get through to the other side of understanding.
In Wisconsin, can you maybe name just a few of the farms that are helping to educate others by being a part of this?
There are definitely farms that have worked with the program in the past, and then farms that just received a bunch of international guests that we had that are always great with international questions and procedures and all of that. So we worked with Stott Brothers, and we had Rosie Lane and Tina Hinchley, and also Sassy Cow. So all of those guys are great about receiving. Crave Brothers, all of the local dairies around here are great about taking in and saying, oh yeah, we love to show off what we do here and help with the international folks. And they have worked with international trainees in the past.
You mentioned they're coming here, but are you sending anybody from the U.S. overseas to learn about farming in other countries as well?
So occasionally we get an American who is so brave as to travel and leave the United States. It seems hard to find those guys. The ones that have done it really appreciate the experience.
For the people who have come over the years, you mentioned it's almost 30 years of this program. Just how many people do you think you've impacted? If you had to give a rough estimate, is it millions? You know, is it thousands? Like, take us through kind of what that looks like.
So at a time I was doing like 100 a year, so I guess I'm going to guess that I've probably dealt with at least 3,000 people, including the study tours and international dairy short course that we've done, or the farm visits that we've done. And then of course there's all the Americans that are impacted on the other side just because they hosted somebody. Can't tell you how many farms have told me later on, they're like, yeah, my kids decided to do X, maybe not even in agriculture, just because of the experience that they had growing up and being around that I consider. I have a Brazilian brother, they'll tell me, or yeah, my child just went over and spent a summer in Italy because of this or whatever.
So what is maybe some of the biggest feedback or fun stories that you've received then from those who have been involved with it? That's the farmer side or the person coming to learn?
So I think one of my favorite stories is an Argentine fellow that came with me to the United States, and then he went to New Zealand, kind of fell in love in New Zealand, stayed for a while, then actually got divorced from that particular one, but he became a farmer in New Zealand, came back to the United States, and because he married an American that he met in New Zealand, and he actually searched me out in Vermont, where I'm based, and came to visit me at my house a couple of years ago, and he came and he said, you know, people ask me what changes in your life led you to where you are today, and he says, and I honestly tell them two people. One of them was his professor in Argentina, and the other one was the program and me.
Take me through what it's meant to you to be able to help these people as well.
So that's a fun question, yeah. So I was one of those weird people growing up that wanted to know more about international stuff. I come from a really small town, 1600 in northern Illinois. The University of Illinois let me have that wonderful opportunity to be an exchange student, and really opened the world to me. And I completely credit my university experience for that. And then I had to figure out what to do with these conflicting passions of cow interest and international interest. And I used to get people joke with me all the time, what are you going to do, teach Spanish to cows? Ha, ha, ha. And that was prior to when a lot of our dairies started to need people speaking Spanish on it. Now I don't think anybody would make the same joke. So I feel my life has been greatly enriched by it, by being able to meet people and being able to help people. You know, like, I know Brazilians that have gone back home, and then they tell me, yeah, my whole career is due to this, even if they weren't ending up in agriculture. I mean, get that from agriculture, but like other people. One guy changed his mind from being a veterinarian to a human doctor. He's now a very successful human doctor in Argentina himself. But it just watching, and Facebook's great for that, being able to see where people end up has been really greatly enriching.
Well, and it sounds like it has obviously a big impact on their lives, but it's also improving our industry as a whole moving forward, as, you know, in agriculture, there's always the unknown day to day. I gotta assume that's been kind of part of this for you as well.
Yeah, and I tell people when they come in orientation and I get a chance to talk to them, I would always say, you know, There's moments that you're going to learn all sorts of things throughout your year while you're here. You're going to learn about simple basic stuff like insemination or genetic selection or milking procedures and protocols, whatever, very specific stuff. So the thing that you're really going to learn about is yourself. And at some point, I said, not everybody's going to do this, but hopefully you'll get to the point where you can step outside and see how it is that you would react and then see how other people are reacting. And that personal growth prepares you for the other stuff you're talking about of like, oh, wow, I wasn't expecting COVID to shut down my milk processing and suddenly I can't sell to schools anymore. What those major changes in life that hit you, you are better prepared if you've thrown yourself into a really unknown situation like an international exchange.
If somebody is interested in being a host farm, or maybe they know somebody who is overseas that would benefit from this, take us through just how people can learn more, sign up, the cost, kind of those logistics.
So I put everything on the website, including all the costs, so that you can figure it out without having to talk to somebody. So it's www.globalcow.com, and all of the stuff is there. My email's there. That's usually the easiest way to find me and get back in touch with me.
That's Jill Stahltyler, the driving force behind the Global Cow Dairy Exchange Program.
Thank you, Charity. Now let's take a look at what the markets are doing this morning. Cash corn is down 2¾ at 476, and cash soybeans are down 11¼ at 1031. March wheat is down 5¾ at 541¼, and Class 3 milk contracts for February are up 8, sitting at 20 even, and March contracts are up 6 at 1973. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we join our friends from EverAg next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
This is news from the Center, WRCE. The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood
if
for
I'd done that.
Kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not
with
doing
your
it.
Face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special edition. Jeff Wright, candidate for Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instructions, will be here live. We'll spend a half an hour getting to know him and why he wants the job. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. News from the Center, WRCE.
Colin, give us a look at what you're seeing here with the Class 3 milk prices now that we're entering into the new year.
What do we know right now? Now the holiday season is over. Wellhill Mar in Dodge City has opened,
and they have started making product, and their capacity isn't full, but they more than likely will get there. California is coming off a bullish report, but it seems that this will be the most negative that they will get milk production-wise. So with added cheese coming onto the market and milk production going to get better in the United States, most of the signs sway bearish throughout the first half of 2025. Now, it looks like traders have been active on the spot market, building up the price, and there are issues in the EU, but still, without exports book, it looks like we need help. I really feel like this feels like a great time to get hedged up, considering we are looking at better levels Q1 and Q2 wise, than past years.
Well, when we take a look at those class 3 prices, the downturn has been under 20. Is that something that we should expect to continue to see in the future?
Yeah, so I think for January, we certainly have a chance to be lower range down here. I don't think, since we're nearing expiration, that we're going to see anything quite drastic. Now, I think that February, March, and the beginning of Q2 definitely has a possibility of a little decrease. I'm just saying that because of the capacity that's coming online. You have more capacity for class 3 coming online than class 4, so they're going to be taking milk from these class four plants, and there might be an excess of cheese. So we're hoping for demand as always, and we did book a little bit in Q4, so hopefully we'll get some in Q1, Q2, but there might be an excess of cheese out there. So,
and when you're mentioning those cheese prices, recently there's been a slight downturn. What are you seeing with that, and what can we expect with California trying to get their milk production back up again?
Yeah, so with California, they were negative 9.2% compared to 2023. So most states have gone through this. Idaho got hit pretty bad. They were down 6%, and then all of a sudden, it seemed like their cap, and they recovered to only down 2% the next month. So if that is any indication of what's going to happen in this next milk production report, then if they recover, then they're going to start making cheese along with the rest of the states. And, we're going to end up up nationally. So, yeah, I know it's not good news, but it does seem a little bearish.
Well, and another interesting market that people should be paying attention to is butter. What have you been seeing with that?
Yeah, so butter's been a little different. So manufacturers really everywhere are making a lot of cheap cream right now, and that is also making a lot of butter. So there should be an excess of it, but demand has been pretty good. So that's why we have a stable price for now. I think that one thing that seems possible is that the futures curve is allowing folks to make butter with the cheap cream, and then they hedge it further out. It feels like butter has downside, but it's such a thin market with so much emotion on the buy side because butter prices, they've been so high that it never really plays like the game that we think it should. I have felt less worried about downside risk in class 4 for producers. I think just because of California production down, they're a major class 4 state right now. There's still issues in the EU. And then the big one, I think, is what I was talking about earlier, is that you have all these class 3 plants coming online. They're taking milk from these class 4 balancing plants to keep the class 3 plants full. I think a little bit more hope for class 4 for me for the first half, and for class 3, I think it's a great opportunity with what these levels look like to get hedged up still if you haven't.
And coming up, we only have a couple more bigger holiday things coming up, which is the Super Bowl and Easter. Do you think we could see a possible increase in demand and price when those two times roll around?
Yeah, I think it's very possible. I think that with Easter, it tends to be a lot more butter demand, but obviously the Super Bowl is a huge cheese demand point of emphasis, and I think that we will start to see some shipments come out, and hopefully that will allow the price to kind of hang on. You just never know, and that's why I think with these prices right now for Class 3, it's important to keep an eye on them.
And as we look forward further into 2025, do you have any other advice for the dairy producers here in Wisconsin, or maybe just things that you think they should be looking for as we move through the year?
Yeah, I mean, we're just out of holiday season demand, but like you were talking about, I mean, look at the demand factors that are coming up. You got Super Bowl, you got Easter. Make sure to look at the new capacity, like what's going on around the United States. How's California doing? Those are kind of the main factors right now. Certainly keep an eye on the GDT with what's going on with New Zealand and China. Just keep up to date with the milk markets, because it certainly is going to get interesting these next couple months.
Colin Artema, a dairy market advisor with Everag, joining us this Thursday to give us a look at what the markets are doing and what to look for through the year. As we wrap up today, we here at the Midwest Farm Report wish you a happy and safe Thursday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@americanfoodsgroup.com.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
A more prosperous global society is good news and bad news for American farmers. Next on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
All-terrain vehicles have become standard equipment on farms and ranches. While useful for work, they're also recreational, but they can pose a safety issue for kids in particular. Make sure operators wear helmets and are schooled in safe use. High-speed crashes and rollovers can be avoided. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. You met Matt Roberts in yesterday's show. He's an independent ag economist from Worthington, Ohio. Roberts is bullish on U.S. farmers being able to benefit from the growing world economy. But there's always a catch, right? He says a wealthier consumer is also a pickier consumer.
And I don't begrudge them. They're consumers. Okay, it's their money. We're asking them to give it to us. But that wealth is a double-edged sword, and that's the world in which we live, and that is hopefully not going to go away.
Robert says when cost is less of a factor in acquiring food, people begin using other criteria when choosing their food. These include things like animal welfare, climate impact, and a host of other characteristics.
This is the world we live in. It's a world of wealth, and it's a world that a lot of people, because they're wealthy enough, they no longer have to just care about whether they're going to starve. Food has gone from being a utility to being a luxury to being a status item.
Robert says these concerns are not only domestic, they also influence trade of U.S. commodities with other countries. and he'll return tomorrow to share his thoughts on ag trade. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Hey folks, Jimmy K here from Max Inc. Radio. Join me this weekend as I welcome Isaiah and the new people. Plus, Terry chats with jazz musician Janet Plant. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days.
Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.